Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I want to thank all of you for participating this morning. I'm going to be honest because I never lied to the audience. It is the doldrums of sports talk, right? The summer doldrums. We were really lucky with NBA free agency this year. It extended longer, and that Russell Westbrook trade and all that brought sports talk to a fever pitch into the middle of July, maybe even further than it typically goes. But I think this week was the week where it sort of was like, wah, 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 a little bit, where, you know, you get to the point where football hasn't started yet. Basketball's over. You got to wait for the NBA season. You're still waiting for the NFL season. Baseball's in the middle of a long, long season. People are off. They're on vacation. They don't, you know, it just like, you have to manufacture topics this time of year a lot of times. And one thing I could have easily manufactured is just, are you still upset about steroid guys not being in the Hall of Fame, or should steroid guys be in the Hall of Fame? Which comes up every year around Major League Baseball Hall of Fame induction. And instead, the concept I'm working with is the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album. Since in the summer, in a road trip, you might throw on a Greatest Hits album. And should steroid guys be in the Hall of Fame is definitely on the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album, along with Jordan versus LeBron, and should college athletes be paid, and some of the other ones you've suggested, and you guys have been great in participating in this. So I just want to say thank you before I get to more of your suggestions on which cuts should be on said album. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. How about Mo in Dallas? Mo, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, bud? So I have one. I think, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? And then on a worldwide scale, you got the whole Messi versus Ronaldo.
Oh, Messi versus Ronaldo. That's a good one. Eli Manning, I think, is like a niche one. I don't think it makes the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album, but it's a topic for sure that gets brought up. I think Eli is a Hall of Famer. I think top 10 all-time in passing yards and touchdowns, plus two Super Bowl MVPs, is probably good enough to get you in the Hall of Fame. That's definitely a debatable topic. I don't think it's a greatest hit. But Messi and Ronaldo, that's it. You know, if we are going global, that's up there. That's definitely up there. So I like the Messi-Ronaldo suggestion, which is always a tough one, right? Because Messi probably dominates more of the field. You know, he's more of the playmaker. And in basketball, I tend to favor the playmaker rather than just the finisher. But in soccer, because there are so few goals and they're at such a premium, you could argue the finisher is actually more important than the playmaker. And Ronaldo has been, I think, the better finisher of the two in big situations. So that is a definitely a good debate. How about Jason in Texas? Jason, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, biggest upset.
That's a good one. What's your? What do you say it is?
Miracle on Ice.
Which one?
The Miracle on Ice.
I think it's Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson for me. But yeah, that's a good one. I'll always remember, like, wait, Mike Tyson lost? And I was a kid. But maybe it's because of the video game. I don't know. But Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson to me is the biggest upset. But there you go. That's another topic. I think that's definitely an arguable cut for the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album. How about Ryan in Virginia? Ryan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Robin? Enjoy the show.
Appreciate that, man.
But really, my favorite one that you had was basically the Brady and Belichick argument. That's my favorite track on there.
Yeah.
Because it basically boils down to the hype beast that I feel is Brady. But maybe want to call in is I heard your opinion or your debate on the LeBron and Jordan era. So I kind of figure I know where you fall at with Brady versus Montana. And I just don't realize, like, why do all analysts feel like, you know, they just give Brady, like, just catapult him over everybody. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's accomplished. I'm not saying he's not great. I don't respect what he's done. He's definitely done a lot. But you know what I mean? Montana never lost, never threw any picks in Super Bowls. You know what I mean? He's threw game-winning touchdowns. How did he just shoot past Montana? I'm not even a Montana fan. I'm a Colts fan, love Peyton Manning. How does Brady just catapult everything? You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's accomplishments. Like you said, I mean, he's got the number of Super Bowl wins. He also has appearance. You know, I don't hold it against you to go and lose. I think it's an accomplishment to make it there. And then over time, he's accumulated the statistics. So I think that's how it happened. I mean, because the biggest argument against Brady is now Belichick. That's the biggest argument against Brady. But when you stack up Brady and Montana head to head, it gets more and more difficult to you know, unless you just want to separate teams from individuals, it gets more difficult to make the argument for Montana due to the career accolades that Brady has acquired.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I appreciate you taking the call, man, and breaking it down to me. I still, you know, like I said, I know you got other calls and everything like that. Me personally, like I said, you know, I dive in a little bit more than that. Like I said, with the teams, the way, you know, the way Belichick GMs the teams with the players he gets the most out of everything. You know what I mean? So that's why I definitely picked that track on there as well, to be able to dive into that a little bit more. I definitely appreciate the call, man. I definitely love the show, man. And I'm definitely going to follow you on Twitter.
All right, thank you. I think the biggest argument against Brady is Belichick. But if you just put Brady head-to-head with Montana, I think the reason that's less of an argument now is because Montana, yeah, maybe has won all his Super Bowls, but he's 4-0. Brady has 6 Super Bowls, and he's been there several other times. Brady has one more MVP than Montana, so he's got more MVPs, more Super Bowls, more Super Bowl appearances. Where are they at in yardage? I mean, it's a different era, so that's tough, but he's got way more passing yards. It's not even close. They're not even in the same realm. When it comes to touchdowns, it's far more passing touchdown. I mean, so it's tough. I could almost construct a better argument for maybe like a Peyton Manning if you wanted to just argue like that we reward the team too much over the individual. It's tough to make the argument, or tougher now to make the argument, I think, for Joe Montana. How about Scott in Virginia? Scott, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey man, thanks for taking the call. One of my favorite arguments to eat up a bunch of time, whether I'm just sitting back drinking beers or on a long road trip with a bunch of guys, is sport, not a sport.
100%. I'm with you. So, you know who I just had this argument with? Joel McHale.
It's so much fun. You got to have this with. You got to have this discussion with people you can curse at, because it's going to devolve very quickly. Because you're going to spend the first hour just defining what is or isn't a sport. Oh. And then the next 4 hours picking that apart.
That's you've named it. This is a great sport versus game is definitely the name of the track.
Yeah, you got darts, bowling.
Not a sport.
What, bowling?
No, I don't think it's a sport.
A cornhole?
Game. No, not a sport. To me, all right. Here's my Scott.
Right?
I got two for you. Hold on.
Here we go.
My definition is, and let me think of this off the top of my head. My definition for a sport would be a competitive. A competitive activity, you know, scored activity that requires athleticism, skill, and conditioning. And then
bowling does all of that.
No, it doesn't. What athleticism do you need to be a bowler?
You got to throw a 16-pound ball about 150 feet.
You don't need to be in good physical condition to be a bowler.
Sure you do. You got
to
be able to
come
pick
on, dude.
Up and spin it.
To me, the line of demarcation is actually baseball.
Right.
Because if it's more athletic than baseball, it's definitely a sport. if it's less athletic than baseball, it's probably not a sport. And because there's baseball players who you're not quite sure, like, is that guy a great athlete? Like, is Bartolo Colon a great athlete? But then there's guys like Mike Trout who are clearly great athletes, right? Bowling's a game. Come on, let's be honest.
Is John Daly a great athlete?
No.
This is the beauty of this argument, man. Yeah. It can take hours and just devolve into cursing and drinking more beer.
Well, yeah, and then one of the stock things is how hard something is. And I always say, well, just because something is hard doesn't make it a, you know, more of a sport. You know, heart surgery is hard, but it's not a sport, right?
Right. It's all, yeah.
Or difficult.
What about badminton?
Badminton. That's more of a sport than bowling, isn't it?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, don't you have to run around a little bit in badminton?
Right, but just think about this. You got 5 hours to kill because you're driving. You got your best friend next to you, and this is what happens.
Oh, no, that's why I like it. I love it. I'm putting it on the track list. Keith in Myrtle Beach. Keith, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, man. Love the show. Love the show. Always listening. I'm a huge Alabama fan, Atlanta fan, Panther fan, and my biggest what if is when Saban was at Miami and he wanted Drew Brees from San Diego, and the team doctor said, hey, his shoulder's not going to make it. So Drew Brees goes to New Orleans, Saban goes to Alabama. If Saban would have stayed in Miami with Drew Brees, Tom Brady would not be Tom Brady. I know that for a fact.
Well, you don't know it for a fact. You have to choose your words matter. You don't know it for a fact. You believe it to be true.
Yeah. But I'm glad he went to Alabama because my Alabama team loves Nick Saban.
So. Yeah, I would imagine. Nick Saban aggravates me sometimes, including something he said this week, which I might get to before the show's out. But you can't argue against what he's done as a college coach. No arguments there. All right, one more on this. Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album. What If, though? That was a track. That's on the track list now. Like, What If? Along with Mount Rushmore. Those are two of, like, the more ambiguous ones that you then fill in with whatever you're talking about at that moment. But if you want to make your submission for the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album, this is your last chance. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it is here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And many of you got that Twitter handle because lots of tweets that came in on this topic. The greatest hits album in sports talk radio. What is the track? What are your favorite tracks? S. Connie 42 says All-Star Game Snubs. That's a thing that comes up, but that's not a lasting debate because that's dependent on, what the year is, whether there is a snub or not. But I understand the thinking behind it. Chris M. says track 12 is Tom Brady the GOAT. I think the Tom Brady one I like the best is it more Brady or Belichick for the Patriots? I think that's my Patriots cut on the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album. And whoever threw that in earlier today, I forget who that was. I think it might have been either Harry Goodtimes or Ben Lloyd, because I see a couple people mentioning it in my mentions here. That was a good suggestion. That makes the album. You know, so far for the album, we definitely have Michael Jordan versus LeBron James. Definitely. We have Should College Athletes Be Paid? Should Steroid Guys and Pete Rose Be in the Hall of Fame? Mount Rushmore. What If? Game versus Sport. I'm trying to think if there was any other ones that definitely made the cut. Brady and the Brady Belichick one.
Sports rivalries.
Rivalries. Upsets. Those are good ones. All on the. So we're getting there. We're almost at a full album, right? Like, what's the proper length? What's your favorite length for an album? I like about, 10 to 13 tracks personally, about 45 minutes, one commute. That's actually how long I think an album should be. So somewhere in that range is where I would want to settle. But those are the ones that we've had here so far on the show. And this is your last chance because I'm going to switch gears after this. 855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in. Miles in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Miles, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, Robin? Thanks, man. I love your show.
Appreciate it.
I guess it's a what if and a debate, but the steroid issue, should they be able to play? Do we want to see Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa hitting 80 home runs a year? And what if Jose Canseco didn't come out and break the story?
Well, I mean, that, Miles, was the whole genesis of this topic. The reason we're talking about this today is because tomorrow is Major League Baseball Hall of Fame Induction Day, which I call National PED Day. Because every year it's not about who got in, it's about who isn't getting in. And I could be really tired and have that conversation with you, but I think everybody's made their opinions known on that, and it just doesn't feel very genuine anymore. I mean, people have genuine opinions on it, but you know what I'm saying. That was the whole reason for this conversation, because that is on the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album. Chad Simpson tweets in, too many home runs in baseball. That's not on the Greatest Hits album. That's a track from maybe this year. That's on the Now This, or what was that series called? Now This Is Music or something like that? Yeah, that's on the 2019 maybe hits album, but not the all-time Greatest Hits album. How about Barry in Dallas? Barry, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, man, I'm wondering what you think about NFL kickers being athletes.
NFL kickers being athletes? Yeah. I don't think it's the Greatest Hits album, but you're just asking me my question?
I was aiming for the Greatest Hits, man. I'll hang up and listen.
I don't think that's on the Greatest Hits album. Are NFL kickers athletes? I mean, they're on the lower end of the impressive athlete scale, but yes, somebody said by my definition, golf is a game and not a sport. I've always sort of said golf is a game and not really a sport. Does it take more athleticism to be an NFL kicker than a golfer? Maybe slightly, but it's in that realm. It's one specific skill set. It's more about skill. But you have to have a degree of power and the like to kick a 50-something yard field goal, right? Like the sport versus game debate is on the list. And the way I've, like, my personal definition of sport is a scored competitive activity requiring athleticism, skill, and conditioning. And kicking a football closely meets those criteria. Don in Dallas. Don, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, I love your show, Robin. This is first time, long time. And I would like to debate, Mike Tyson versus Muhammad Ali comes up a lot, especially around the retirement centers from time to time when the young grandkids come. And all those old folks are like, Ali is the greatest, and, the younger ones is Mike Tyson and whatnot. But what are your thoughts on something like that, Robin?
I think best boxer of all time is definitely on there. I think Ali is the greatest of all time. I think when you consider impact and everything like that, greatest of all time, it has to be Muhammad Ali. I think Mike Tyson captured people's imagination because of the knockouts and everything that came along with Mike Tyson. I think if you're asking casual fans, you'd get the answers Ali, Tyson, and Floyd Mayweather. He's not a heavyweight. So if you're just saying heavyweights, it probably comes down to, the likes of Ali and Tyson. But I think Ali has Tyson there. Now, Floyd Mayweather has a case for best ever, though. I think when you take all things into consideration, unfortunately, he's not necessarily the most likable human being in the world. But as far as being a boxer, he was unbelievably skilled at his craft, and he never lost. Andre DeVoe tweets in, is analytics good for baseball? I don't think that's a baseball just topic. I think analytics could be, you could make the case for that moving its way up the charts. Are analytics good for sports or something like that? Some sort of stats debate, which people have all the time. Gut versus stats. how dare you use stat? That's another one, though, that, like, I always find it funny because people are wild reactionary in one direction or the other, as if there should be no stats or stats should determine everything. And I think most reasonable people believe that statistics are a good tool that are very helpful in analysis and better than just what you and I think, while also not the end-all be-all for what goes on the athletic field of play. I think most reasonable people, including people who are into stats, believe that. But for the purposes of sports talk radio, it does degenerate into stats, good or bad, which is just a wildly ludicrous position to have.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, getting ready to talk some college football. As I said, going to turn the page towards football as it's about that time of year. I think the page is turning basically this week. And in order to do so, I'm joined by Barton Simmons, CBS Sports college football writer. And Barton, first thing I want to talk about is Jim Harbaugh and his comments about Urban Meyer, where he said controversy has followed Meyer everywhere he's been. And I understand, you know, some people might have a brushback talking about, you know, perhaps Harbaugh being a disappointment at Michigan or sour grapes. But I also don't think he's not exactly wrong here, because the first thought that comes into my head when I hear Urban Meyer now isn't necessarily great football coach. There's other layers to it. What did you make of those comments?
Yeah, I mean, I think he knew what he was doing and saying them, obviously, but he isn't wrong. And I think that Urban Meyer probably deserves a lot of credit for handling his Ohio State tenure differently than his Florida tenure, and he certainly, I think, learned from the mistakes of his Florida days. But, you know, there was sort of a new mistake that reared its head in the Ohio State days, and so he does leave, I think, with I don't know how you argue the otherwise. And so, but that said, I think it's pretty clear what Jim Harbaugh is doing, and that's just sort of digging at a rival, and that rivalry, you know, has undertones throughout a lot of his comments, and it certainly he stoked things for sure, and I think that Jim Harbaugh's always been sort of willing to stoke things. So I thought it was interesting he's willing to say that and double down on it and triple down on it. But I also don't think it's inaccurate. I mean, I think you have to come to the grips with that's true.
You know, it's funny because it is easy to think perhaps it's motivated due to, you know, Michigan, Ohio State as a thing, right? But isn't there just the possibility he was being honest?
Yeah, I think he was asked a question, and I think that he, he didn't go overboard with it, but he did. I mean, that has been his rival, and he was, I think, just answering a question honestly. And that said, I think he also knew exactly what he was doing, and so I do think he could have sidestepped that if he had wanted to, but he clearly didn't want to. And I'm, for the sake of off-season content and preseason talk, I'm glad he didn't.
There you go. All right, talk about preseason talk. Here's a question I want you to answer for me. How good is Texas going to be? Because I would really like for Texas to be good, because it seems like people are really interested in whether Texas is good or not, with Baker Mayfield's comments and Terry Bradshaw's comments and, right, you know, a story about whether horns down is a penalty or not. How good is Texas going to be?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that here we are talking about Texas and an entire conference has to cater towards horns down being a penalty, and that there are people like Terry Bradshaw volunteering their thoughts on Sam Ehlinger. I mean, that Texas is always going to be sort of the, you know, one of the real focal points of the college football universe. And I think, fortunately, they've got a really good coach right now. I think they've got a really good quarterback right now. And they've been recruiting off the charts. And so Texas is on their way. That said, this is still a team that didn't run the ball very well last year. This is still a team that loses most of their front seven. And a team that is going to need to have some young guys really grow up quickly defensively. And so I do think that Texas is going to be a really good team, but what does really good mean? I mean, 9-3, 10-2 maybe. I don't know that I'm ready to see Texas or I don't know that I expect Texas, I should say, to take the college football playoff step, to take the 11-1, 12-0 regular season type of step. And I think they'll get there. They're going to have a year like that under Tom Herman. But this year doesn't seem like the year. If you can make an argument for it, I really think Sam Ehlinger is the type of quarterback that can elevate a team. And so if Sam Ehlinger just puts them on his back, hey, perhaps we see it. But I think that's a lot to ask. And they asked a lot of him last year. I think he's going to need some running backs and offensive linemen to help take some of that load in the run game this year. And we'll see if that happens.
Robin Lundberg talking to Barton Simmons, CBS Sports college football writer here on CBS Sports Radio. Here's a question for you. Clemson or Alabama?
I've got Alabama right now, but this is fun because both of these teams are going at it. They're sort of taking shots at each other throughout media days. They are very clearly almost overlooking their entire conference and just, you know, ready for another rematch. And I think we'll see it. And I think because of what we saw last year, I mean, we saw a Clemson team that was really motivated with a bunch of guys that forwent the NFL draft to come back and play for a national championship. And they, you know, that mattered, that focus, that resolve mattered. And I think Alabama, with the way they lost last year, having all off season to think about that sit on that and have that taste in their mouth, I think Nick Saban is going to have Alabama really, really focused this year. And so two really kind of equally matched teams from a talent perspective. I just think perhaps this is Alabama's year to get back, but it's going to be fun. And I think it's really hard to make a case for me that someone other than one of those two is going to win it.
Is that, you know, at some point, is there a negative for college football there? Because that has been the case, it seems, for a while now.
I don't think so, because, you know, college football has so many, I mean, the rivalries and, you know, obviously conference championships, and now that there's a college football playoff, there's obviously opportunities for other teams to skid in there. There's, you know, the rise of Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. You know, there's Georgia's continuing to knock on the door in the SEC. I think Ryan Day at Ohio State has got a chance to really do some things that are pretty special. So I think there's enough going on in college football to where it's not as if it's just this two team storyline, and I think the way Alabama and Clemson are playing has really risen the bar and has sort of forced teams like Georgia and Ohio State and Michigan and kind of these LSU and they kind of know where they have to hit and what they have to do from a recruiting standpoint on the field, coaches, paying assistants. I mean, when you got Dave Aranda making over $2 million at LSU, I think that Brent Venables has facilitated that. I think he's necessitated that. You know, when you got Jimbo Fisher hiring Mike Elko for $2 million, I think that's chasing Clemson and Alabama. And so I think that all that's doing is just creating an environment to where there's a real fervor to try to get to that level. And I think it's fun to watch everybody compete.
You mentioned Lincoln Riley there. I think he said this week that Jalen Hurts, you know, has to earn the starting job. You know, Hurts was really commendable the way he handled the whole situation at Alabama. And maybe it was just a quick glimpse, but it looked like to me he had worked on some of the stuff that was a flaw for him when he got a chance to play there with Tua getting hurt. But yeah. When you move towards Oklahoma and you see what Riley has done with Mayfield and Murray, do you think that's just coach speak? And how much potential do you think there is there with him and Hurts?
That's absolutely coach speak. There's zero chance that anyone other than Jalen Hurts is a starting quarterback for Oklahoma. And I think that as the starting quarterback for Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts is going to have a monster year. I really believe that. And there's people that kind of doubt what he'll be capable of doing and doubt that the Oklahoma offense can stay on the pace it's been on with Jalen Hurts at quarterback based on some flashes, really, I think, back in his freshman and sophomore season. And I just don't I don't see it. I really think Lincoln Riley can elevate Jalen Hurts' game. And when you think about what he did at Alabama, yeah, we really did see some improvements as a thrower in that year three last year. And if you think about it, that really was the first year he truly had a quarterback coach. Dan Enos was his quarterback coach prior to that. He didn't really have one. It was an offensive coordinator that wasn't focused on improving him as a passer, but focused on installing a scheme. And so I think to have someone like Lincoln Riley in there that can really help him develop as a passer. And I think a coach that's proven that he can tailor the scheme and tailor the system to his skill set, similar to what he did with Kyler Murray versus Baker Mayfield. I just think Oklahoma's offense is not going to miss a beat. If you want to look for a point in that Oklahoma offense that could be vulnerable, it's offensive line. I mean, that's where they lost four NFL draft picks, one returning. Can the next guy up be as good as the last guy at Oklahoma on the offensive line? Other than that, I know that Kyler Murray had a generational season, but I think Jalen Hurts is very equipped to still run up and down that field in the Big 12 with Lincoln Riley kind of manning the steering wheel.
How do you think he adapts to Hurts' skill set? Like, what does that look like?
I think Jalen Hurts, again, we saw him really improve as a passer. So I think the idea that he can't be a really effective passer is, I'm not buying that. But I do think that he is a big, strong, physical guy where you can really use his legs. So, you know, Baker Mayfield was more of he would extend plays, but he wasn't truly a run threat. Kyler Murray certainly was, but a lot of that, too, was in sort of scramble settings. I think that Jalen Hurts, kind of quarterback power, downhill stuff, I think you'll see added to the equation. And I think that you're going to continue to see so many different ways that they work their pass game and run game together, complement each other, and all the different skill guys that are around Jalen Hurts. I think Lincoln Riley is so good at getting those guys open and putting defenses in a bind that Jalen Hurts is just going to have to continue to kind of just be a facilitator. And I think he can do that. He's shown he can do that at Alabama, and this will just sort of be turned up the volume at Oklahoma. So I really believe this is going to look awfully effective in Norman.
Barton, really appreciate your time this morning, man. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah, appreciate it.
Barton Simmons, CBS Sports college football writer. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, Alabama came up a few times there, and I want to say something quickly about something from Alabama this week. Nick Saban, obviously a great coach, but he went on again about transfers and the transfer portal window or whatever they call it. And you know what he said? He said this week it's becoming too much like free agency, and that he believes that's going to be the case, players should have to sit out a year. That really bothers me, really bugs me. Because, first of all, Nick Saban is a great coach, but he's not the overlord of college football, right? And then the nerve it takes to want to dictate, a year of the life of an 18-year-old kid. An 18-year-old kid should have to waste a year of their eligibility, at least as far as being on the field, the timeliness of that, at least, let's put it that way. And these guys are out there playing football for free. Football for free. That's nuts. And the hypocrisy is like mind-boggling, because you never would ask a coach with a handsome salary to sit out a year when they switch jobs. Now, like, I understand the message that Saban was trying to convey, essentially, like, you should honor commitments and stick it out and all that, but it feels like he is greatly overstating a problem that doesn't really exist. One, because is that a thing? Like, do people really view NFL, college football transfers like free agency? No. I don't think that's the case at all. And then two, who cares? Who cares? Like, I mean, dude, it seems so salty. It seems so salty to come across that way and to say that, because we were just talking about the last really notable transfer from Alabama was Jalen Hurts, who handled that situation as commendably as you possibly could, right? As I would say professionally, but we know it's not professional. I mean, these programs make money like professionals, but of course the athletes themselves are not professional. So it wasn't even a huge story this week. It just irritated me a little bit to see Saban say that, because, you know, the college coaches have it better than anybody. They got it better than anybody. They have so much control. They're basically worshipped like deities at the places that they are, you know, like where it takes an enormous scandal to remove them. And they're paid a ton of money, a ton of money. So it just doesn't seem like he has anything to complain about. And it takes a lot of nerve for Nick Saban to say something like that. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Speaking of a lot of nerve, stick to sports, people. You have a lot of nerve. And I want to touch on that very quickly. You know, we've had a lot of fun on today's show. I had to talk about Tyreek Hill. That wasn't so fun at the beginning of the show, but of course, it was the newsiest story from yesterday, but had a lot of fun putting together the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album. Want to delve into something a little bit more serious very quickly next here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.